Welcome to the Progressive Radio News Hour. I'm Steve Lendon. My guest today is Peter Ayer. It's going to be a dazzling program, I guarantee you. I must say, we talk issues on this program. That's what it's all about, world issues, big issues, the stuff you don't get on propaganda TV. That's another little tagline I thought about. I love scoundrel media. That's my favorite. Or media scoundrels. You know, either way. Scoundrel media, media scoundrels. Some time ago, I coined another phrase, paid liars, the people who are employed by either the broadcast or the print media. And they are employed with strict instructions. They lie. And if they tell the truth, they get fired. They may even go to jail for telling the truth. In America, telling the truth is a crime. Lying, depending on who does it. Oh, that pays very well. Pays very well. I must say I've got a couple of other things on my mind today, but we will talk about it. I had a new computer installed yesterday. I'm afraid it is. Oh, it is not treating me so well. Anyway, that's a problem I'll get somebody to help me with. But again, we want to talk about issues. Peter does absolutely marvelous work. He lectures widely. He's a keen analyst. He understands the vital geopolitical issues. He rails against U.S. imperialism and all the destructive fallout it causes. He's one of the important, eloquent voices that I love to get on this program because he tells it so well. Peter, I quoted from your article where you talked about the New World Order and, among other things, the idea that, you know, what America is doing in the Middle East right now. It didn't just crop up overnight to get rid of some bad guys and America is a white knight. My goodness, does anybody really believe America is a white knight? It is a white knight in reverse. But the war in Syria, I've got to get this off my chest. You hear it repeated all the time. I just want to debunk it as strongly as I can. What's going on in Syria is no uprising. It's no revolution. It's no civil war. It's an invasion. It's an invasion. It's imperial aggression. It's Washington planned 2 decades ago. Paul Wolfowitz. Wolfowitz. I'll let Peter talk about that. Paul Wolfowitz named Syria and half a dozen other countries. Regime change. Why? Not because their governments were one way or the other or whatever. You know, Democrat, despot, anything in between. It's all about puppet states or independent states. Independent ones are criminal. They need to be replaced. Puppet ones, they can be the worst, the absolute worst, like the Saudis, the Qataris, the Bahrainis. All of these monarchies that brutalize their people, and they get handouts from Washington. Goes on and on and on. Peter, welcome. I could keep this monologue going the whole program, but I want to get you in to talk about some of this stuff. I know you're as concerned as I am.
Yes, good afternoon, Steve. Well, of course, we were greeted this morning in the UK. We got a beautiful day here, not far from the Olympic Stadium. Let's hope it closes down peacefully without any false flag incident. I was led to believe there could be one after the event. But anyway, it's a perfect time to do it.
What's the closing date, Peter? I thought it was supposed to be all over by now.
Well, it's over this weekend, actually.
This weekend,
just
okay.
They're coming to, I think it's a closing ceremony tomorrow. But then, of course, there's the quadrupedic Olympics going on after that. So there's still time, you know. but it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen, because there's been so much publicity about false flags at the Olympics that it is possible through reverse psychology to put it off and for it to occur somewhere else, maybe not even in the UK at all. It could be in the Middle East. It may not at this period of time or whatever, because people are alert to false flags now. And I urge people to start to look at the media from a totally different angle, like myself and Stephen does, because going to the media with deep suspicion, I think that's the key to revealing the truth. Because when there is a major event, you've got to understand the magnitude of, like 9/11 and 7/7 in the UK, and all the many incidents been going on, the attempted bombing in the Times Square in New York. What an absolute farce. The Detroit underpants bomber, the inkjet cartridge bomb, the UPS one that was came via my local airport, that became very personal to me. And then, of course, we had the shoe bomber. So I guess the next thing, Stephen, we're going to get the bra bomber. Is there any woman out there that wants to dedicate something in that direction?
Well, all of the incidents that you mentioned, Peter, I wrote about, and every single one of them, and a whole lot more, all false flags right down the line. Somebody asked me about the underwear bomber, the Christmas Day underwear bomber a few years ago. I named it. I can write it if I check the spelling online, but I can't pronounce it. He was given stuff to bring on the plane. He was escorted on the plane without a passport, and the strength of what he was given was the equivalent of a firecracker.
yeah, that's right. And did you notice the Superman, the heroic passenger that flew from diagonally from about 12 seats back and flew all over the seats and arrested the guy down to the ground before the bomb went off? I mean, come on. I thought Superman had gone a long time ago, but obviously he returned for that incident. You know what shocked me today, Stephen, actually, because there's lots of heavy language coming out from the old mayor herself, Hillary Clinton. I think it's about time they put her out to grass. You know, she's gone past her use-by date. I thought Jurassic Park was something, you know, that happened in the past, but obviously there's still people in Congress that are very much part of Jurassic Park.
Can I get this in very quickly? About 30 minutes ago, I got a call to do a very, very brief interview on Hillary Clinton rampaging in Turkey at the moment. And people are absolutely enraged on the streets. I made a comment. I only had a few minutes, actually, about 2 minutes, and I always extend it just a little bit. I asked them maybe they'll give me a minute longer next time. They called me about 10 days ago. But I said the action against Hillary reminds me of the 1970s when Richard Nixon once made a South American tour. And because of what he did to Allende in Chile and I think some other stuff he was involved in, there were riots on the streets, people so angry that he showed up.
That's right. And, you can't blame them for the aggression, because we've got to this scenario. You know, you gave mention about American imperialism. I'd like to correct that. It's actually Western imperialism, because the axis of evil is right here in London. So a lot of these terrible people over in Congress are actually having the strings pulled from here. And in turn, those strings are being pulled from the Vatican. So, you know, the New World Order is a very complex organization. I'm well into it. I understand it totally, financially and structurally. I know the players. I know the opposing party, which I'm communicating with at the moment. And if I am led to believe, you know, what I'm told is correct, then the tide can turn. My concern is, Stephen, and yours probably as well, is can it turn in time? Because we've got an imminent World War III on the cards here. We've got direct threats continuously at Syria, and Hillary Clinton and the Turkish Prime Minister, they talking about imposing a no-fly zone. That is outside of the United Nations. So it looks like we've got another Iraq on the horizon here, but of a much greater magnitude, because people have to understand that if Syria goes, Syria will also implicate Lebanon, and it will also implicate the Palestinians, and all three, of course, will implicate Iran, and that would certainly bring in World War III with a catastrophic event never experienced on this planet, and we can't allow it to happen.
Oh, that's exactly right, Peter. And I've explained and I've written it, and I remember so clearly back Libya last year, the no-fly zone. It was really shocking that the Russians and Chinese let that be instituted. I said very categorically that installing a no-fly zone guarantees war. And it wasn't myself that was making the statement. I quoted a U.S. general, and it's months back, I don't recall his name, one of the U.S. generals who said, if a no-fly zone is instituted, we will have to bomb Gaddafi's command and control and air defenses. because we can't let those things be on the ground and take pot shots at the planes coming overhead. It's a declaration of war. That's what a no-fly zone is. And a so-called safe zone is a ground-based no-fly zone, another declaration of war. The Russians and Chinese aren't stupid. We know that, Peter. And I just hope some of the rhetoric sounds good, and I just hope that both of them, especially Russia, they have vital interest in the region. I hope they have drawn a red line and have just said, this will not pass beyond this line. And if these guys dare to start anything that could knock Syria out and possibly embroil the entire region, then we're going to come in and do everything we can to stop it. And I'll say this categorically as well, Peter. America and other Western bullies, just like schoolyard bullies, they like to pick on victims they can easily bowl over. They don't like to go up against anybody that can give them a fair fight. China and Russia can give them a damn good fair fight. I don't think, I mean, one day they may want to take them on, Peter, but I don't think this is the day.
No, and the other issue here is, like you rightfully said, when you create a no-fly zone, beyond a shadow of doubt, it's an act of war, because you're intruding into sovereign airspace. You're taking out, as you say, command and control centers, you're taking out even the civilian airports, you're taking out every available runway, so they don't have the capacity to use conventional fighters and bombers, and then of course there's the attack of the helicopter pads, and you name it, it's war full on. What people are, you know, the misconception, the misinformation that's coming out of this is that all of these attacks are involving weapons of mass destruction in their many forms. It's a testbed for new weapons, because nowadays you can't do nuclear explosions in the atmosphere, but believe me, I can assure you 100% that low-yield nuclear weapons have been used in Iraq, they've been used in Afghanistan, and they were used in Libya. And I've got photographs of that, and I've got photographs of the French Rafale fighters with under the center pod, slung under the center belly of the fighter, of the Rafale, is a nuclear weapon. I've got the same weapon being filmed in flight during its refueling in transit, and that aircraft did not come back with that weapon on board. And that, to me, is a crime against humanity. And as I put in one of my briefs recently, you know that I cover the atmosphere quite strongly on the airflows at the different levels, from sea level to mid level to upper level, because of my my meteorological background and flight planning for the civil airlines. I understand what's going on up there, and I map out the contamination. And when they did Tripoli and the whole of Libya, actually, they blasted it with what, 300, 400 cruise missiles in the first couple of days. The contamination went straight over Tunisia, Algeria, Morocco. Another stream went over Spain, over Portugal, out into mid-Atlantic. It nearly made it to your east coast of America, but then it did 180 degrees back over the UK and Europe. This is insanity. This is mass genocide.
Oh, it is insanity, Peter. And you mentioned, I believe the last time you were on, you mentioned that nuclear bombs were used in Afghanistan. Well, I had interviews with at least two guests, I recall, right off the top of my head, live on the ground in Libya last year. And one of them made the comment that there was a very suspicious explosion one day and a cloud that looked ominously like a mushroom-shaped one in Libya. And the conclusion was very, very possibly some kind of a nuke was used. They can make them in all sizes, flavors, you know. They can make them supersized. They can make them mini-sized. But the idea that nuclear weapons would be used and civilians were deliberately targeted, the idea that Washington or NATO or any of the allies avoid civilian casualties is one of the great lies of war. Civilians are maliciously and willfully targeted. America does it. Other NATO countries do it, in conspiring with America. Israel does it. Israel gave it a name. Israel actually gave it a name. Israel calls it Aliyah, if I remember the name and I'm pronouncing it right. It's named after a town in Lebanon in 2006 that was targeted. You know, you always use the canard that, oh, you know, bad guys are secreting themselves in their neighborhoods. So we need to destroy the city to get rid of the bad guys. Well, it's a bald-faced lie, but the town was Ahia, I believe, is the town, and I quoted Israeli generals saying, absolutely, we will target civilians. We will go after them. They are a target of war, and of course, doing it is absolutely contrary to international law. You cannot attack non-combatants for any reason unless they pick up weapons and shoot at you. Well, this stuff just keeps going on and on, Peter.
Well, of course, you touched base there with 2006 in southern Lebanon. I've made this quite clear to a lot of my Jewish friends, and believe me, I've got letters here to the Knesset in both languages expressing concern that there is no doubt whatsoever that the IDF and the Israeli government are using WMDs in many forms, dirty bombs, whatever you want to call them, and the Qayyam crater was one such crater, and my fellow Englishman, Dr. Chris Busby, and who's an expert on DU and other third parties, went to the Qayyam crater, and besides picking up the traces of DU, they also picked up the traces of what we call fourth generation bombs. And of course now they're using weapons with what they call cold fusion, which is a new technique. Either way, the public have to understand that the DU is still a nuclear bomb in a minor form, and it's certainly a WMD because it does not identify international borders. Once it ignites, it goes into a gaseous cloud of millions upon millions of nanoparticles. So when you blitzkrieg Tripoli, when you blitzkrieg anywhere, including Baghdad, you have in the atmosphere at any one time the equivalent to several thousands of Nagasaki, Hiroshima bombs. People can't relate to that and can't comprehend. And believe me, it can never be cleaned up. And it's in the atmosphere, in the soil, in the water for 4.5 billion years. And this is this violates the Geneva Convention on at least four counts. So technically, if the president is the supreme commander, then he is guilty of war crimes, as is the Prime Minister of England and all the other people involved in the coalition.
Oh, there's no question. And again, it goes on from one country to another country to another country. And of course, you get the crimes internally against people who protest, people who are literally are losing out, so resources of the state can go toward waging these imperial wars. And it really is a disgrace. And I can't ever remember a time in my life, Peter, when it is as extreme as it is now, and the harm caused both externally and abroad is so great. It just is appalling. And to me, the worst of it is people, there are protests going on, they're sporadic, against economic issues, Occupy Wall Street and similar ones across Europe. That's important. But what on earth is happening with regard to these wars? It just isn't happening. Where is the anti-war movement? Why aren't people railing about this? Why don't they realize that every dollar spent on these wars and militarism in general is one less dollar to spend at home on vital domestic needs that touch their lives directly? If they don't rail against this stuff, this is right in lockstep, equal in importance to raving against the economic injustices. It's all one package, and you have to go after it all. If you don't knock the whole thing down, then it is just going to keep getting worse and worse and worse. But I on Syria alone, Peter, I'm writing about it all the time. Today I'm dealing on economic issues, writing for tomorrow.
You gave reference to that this was planned 2 decades ago. You were spot on there, because it was the project for the new American century. Paul Wolfowitz was instrumental in planning the takeover of at least 7 Islamic countries. And one has to understand that, first of all, when you look at the geopolitics of the New World Order, there's 3 main themes that are essential ingredients in the way that they're going. This is just for the greed, their imperialism. One is world control of the natural resources, or the world's natural resources, control of the markets for those resources, and control of the sea lane routes, pipeline routes, and transit routes, etc. When you add that to their enormous wealth, because they also control the banks, you've got the world in the palm of your hand. And so this is the crux that we're after, we're against, and it's very difficult to see where we're at the moment in their pecking order. But General Wesley Clark, as you know, who was the ex-Supreme Commander of NATO Europe, and you've got to listen to the guy and believe him, because he reiterated soon after 9/11, he was privy to a very secretive memo that where the guy came up to him and says, "Wesley, we're going to take out Iraq." And he said, "Why?" He says, "I don't know, but we're going to take it out." He went away, came back a couple of weeks later, and the same guy approached him. He says, "Wesley, it's worse than what I first told you. We're going to take out 7 countries within a period of 5 to 10 years. Of course, Libya was on there, Syria, Iran, Yemen, Somalia, and of course, Sudan is the unknown one, but it's on the list, believe me. The question is now that it's a race against time, because I do know that there are another unknown force, which is, shall we say, Far Eastern based, not China specifically, but Southeast Asia total, including China. And you know that they own vast tracts of land. God knows how much they own in America. You've got a national debt to them, which is incredible. And so they're tremendously powerful. And at some stage, they are now saying, you know, they want a drawdown on their money, on their investment, and they certainly want a share of the power of this out-of-control New World Order. And so the tide is turning. My concern is, you know, I know that the only way you can stop them is you've got to hit them in the pocket. You've got to take away the wallet, the means of funding. Because if you do that, they can't feed the armies, they can't buy the arms, and they can't go to war, technically. And I believe there are certain things happening right now that is starting to take down that financial infrastructure. And if you watch the news carefully, you will see many CEOs of major banks falling from grace. In actual fact, one on your side of the pond, of course, is the one of HSBC, who has been accused of massive laundering of billions of dollars. Not only money laundering, but with the drug cartel and, quote, fueling terrorism, which is what is going on in Syria right now. There is no rebel army. It's a Western army.
Oh, it sure is a Western army. Again, mercenaries. Mercenaries, they're hired. They come from all over. And, you know, we hear all the names thrown around, Al-Qaeda and all the rest. Doesn't matter what the names are. I mean, these guys come from Jordan, from Saudi Arabia, from Pakistan, from, I mean, just name all kinds of countries in the region, Eurasia, Libya, you know, the fighters that were in Libya against Gaddafi, now they're in Syria against Assad, Bashar Assad. There was even a report, and I haven't seen any detail on this, but there was even a report that some of these fighters, this is interesting, Peter, that some of these fighters were surprised, either they were captured or they had some kind of an altercation with Syrian forces, and they were surprised that they spoke Arabic. And comments were made to them, and I have no backup to prove this. I'd love to hear more about this if it really is true. But these jihadis, or call them what you want, said to these soldiers, "Why are you speaking Arabic? Don't you speak Hebrew?" And the idea was that these people apparently thought they were sent in to fight Israel, not to fight another Arab country. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. And if it is true, how many got this instruction, I don't know. But I thought it was very interesting that some fighters maybe thought they were coming into Syria to fight an Israeli invasion.
Well, you know, I think I've indicated my background. I'm not a sort of a James Bond character, but I can assure you I worked in the NATO headquarters, which is an intelligence gathering operational center, where I would do codes and ciphers, receiving messages from your so-called James Bonds around the world and finding out where missile sites were, interpreting that into English and then putting it on the plotting board to see the name of the game. It's just a chess game, really, you know. The Russians move a site towards a certain border and you counterbalance that and put one nearby. And it's appalling, absolutely appalling, the game that goes on. But I've got, because of my, my background, I have fairly good ability to do good research and sometimes go where no man has been before, not illegally or breaching secrecy. It's all there. It's just having the ability to put it together. And I've got pictures in Libya, I've got pictures in Syria and Iraq of people that have been captured. You know, there's no better evidence than that. A whole squad of British SAS were found in Libya. Two SAS came over the border into Syria from Baghdad. And it goes on, Frenchmen, Germans, you name it. And of course, when I, as you know, my entire life has been in the Middle East, so I've got a different viewpoint on the Islamic countries. They're really not as bad as people make out, and Iran in particular has never attacked anyone. What this is all about is, as you said, it's a regime change, because Gaddafi wanted to nationalize the oil companies. He did a lot for his people. Okay, he wasn't a sincere man. I've got evidence of his fraud, even with Mugabe and Namibia and things like that. But at the end of the day, what he did for his country, he raised them from poverty to one of the most advanced, well-fed countries in the whole of the African continent. You can't screw him for that if you want to put it in that context. But there was no American banks in there. There's very little involvement in Syria. There's very little involvement in Iran. And these are the countries that are a thorn in the side for the West, because they can't get their way. You know, the policy is you do as I say, and if you don't, you're the enemy. And that's exactly what's happened. And Paul Wolfowitz planned it all. There's another war criminal for you. Henry Kissinger right alongside of him. And Henry Kissinger came from a German family that was involved in Intel with the Nazi Party and the SS. So, you know, this is a guy that had a high-profile position in your country, and you can't get any worse than that guy was. And you've got an influx of German SS, you know, training your CIA, and they're also in South America. We could go on. We'll drop that now. Maybe you want to change.
Oh, indeed. And of course, after World War II, there was a massive recruiting campaign going on both sides, the Soviets and the Americans. Who could recruit the most Nazis to come over on their side to raise holy hell against the other side? And the worst, some of the worst of the worst, were gobbled up, given secure positions, all the rest of it. And it didn't matter what crimes they committed. You know, a few high profile figures swung high after the Nuremberg trial, but oh my God, so many others just got off. Germans, Japanese, turn over your secret human experiment papers, and we'll give you a suite for the rest of your life at the Waldorf or something like that. Anyway, Vito, we've got a break at bottom of the hour. Let's take it, and we'll come right back.
Sure.
This is PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
With Peter here, talking about the big issues going on in the world. Oh, are they ever big? Your writing and your comments, Peter, have just an awfully big impact on me, and I'm really delighted to be able to get you on this program so you can share your thoughts and insights and analysis about where things are now, where they're going to read it to listeners that need to hear this, because things are pretty bad and they'll get worse. And the people in government supposedly elected. In America, I don't really think they're elected, but let's call them elected. We can say rhetorically elected. They're supposed to be serving all the people, but of course they do nothing of the sort. They create such massive harm on a global scale. And whatever was done in the past to cause harm, it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. The technologies get more destructive. The weapons get more destructive. More people are harmed. And you mentioned Kissinger. Oh, what an ugly so-and-so he is. And, yeah. Among his other schemes, massive depopulation. And, these people are serious. They want to get rid of, it started out hundreds of millions of people. Now it's billions of people. And these are the kind of people that are running governments and running the world. No wonder we have wars that never end.
Yeah, well, of course, you've got Bill Gates, you know, who comes across as a real softie, you know, donating money to charities in Africa and encouraging inoculation programs, etc. You know, the public have to understand that what he's offering is not his own personal money. It's just a tax write-off at the end of the day, because any donation to charity is tax deductible. And then, of course, he is very much behind the depopulation program. And it is proven, and I've written about this like you have written about it, the additives that are put in the third world countries' inoculation vaccination programs are mercury-based. Mercury is the most corrosive element on Earth. I mean, I can remember someone boarding one of our aircraft once with a small capsule of mercury that went on the floor of the aircraft. And before the plane had reached the destination, it had gone right through the floor and through the belly of the aircraft. The aircraft was grounded for months while we stripped the whole structure out and had to relay it. But anyway, coming back to the New World Order, I do write a lot about some ghastly things. The one I've just written about, which I've sent you, you have to understand it is very emotional sometimes, because you always feel that what you've learnt one particular day, you can't hear anything any worse than that particular episode, and then something else crops up. And believe me, writing these articles does reduce me to tears occasionally. I'm a human being. I'm sensitive to issues, and that one, as I sent you today, is very graphic, as you know. And I've done it this way because, you know, the American people and Britain and Europe and other people that may be listening to this program, you've got to look at the truth. My website, by the way, if you want to catch live, is www.air, as in Jane Eyre, that's EYRE, airinternational.wordpress.com. And in there, the latest article in particular, as I've done at many of my conferences, I can assure you, if I was with Stephen now in an auditorium with a few thousand people in New York or Washington, I would reduce at least the women to tears, probably every one of them, and I've done this so many times. And I make it very graphic because it's true. You don't dilly-dally with things like this. When you're talking about mass depopulation of up to 80% of the world's current population, by whatever means, and I mean that, by whatever means, that also includes mass genocide, and wars are perfect for doing that. And when you consider that no woman in the city of Fallujah in Iraq can ever have a child, because genetically it's in the system for 4.5 billion years, it will never go away. And even if that woman, I will say, is unlucky enough to give birth, and if she is unlucky enough for that child to survive, then its genetic code has gone forever, and it will pass it on to its sibling and its next sibling, and it goes on forever. The other issue here is that it's the only known product, DU in particular, that can penetrate the nose-brain barrier, which is a very, very resilient barrier that normally protects the brain. DU penetrates that. And so when one looks at 1 million vets, US vets, that are being affected by DU, you know, we're killing our own troops. The government's not supporting them. It's a game. They spend so much money on them, and when the revenue runs out,
you know, they pass you on. We've got a fund here for what we call our heroes, and they're spending it on this lavish building, and even the government are dictating as to what will be in these care homes for our returned troops. This is not a public responsibility. It is not a charity responsibility. These men put their lives on the land for, on the line for no cause at all. They fought for their country but didn't, and they become the responsibility of our government and the taxpayers' money. Not for people in the street that are cash-strapped, that will give their last dime for such causes. It's an abuse of the charity organisation.
Oh, indeed so. Indeed so. And how many people know this stuff, Peter? So few. And even those that do, too few do anything about it. And I keep repeating also that as bad as I see things are, they just seem to be getting worse. I think a lot of people were surprised that we didn't get big improvement once Obama came into office January 2009. People didn't take the trouble to find out exactly what this guy was, what his background was, what he did in office prior to becoming president, both in the U.S. Senate and the Illinois Senate. I mean, he was an outrage. He harmed people in Illinois. He harmed them in the U.S. Senate. He harms them, obviously, as president. I call him a stealth neocon. To me, he's as neocon as Romney and the rest of them. He just talks more smoothly. You know, he's a con man. He scares me a lot more than Romney, because I think Romney, he's more blunt than blunderbuss. And I think he'll, if he becomes president, I think he'll end up being hated like Bush. But Obama, after 3.5 years, is still conning half the public. I mean, there were people who were against him because he's black. That's a terrible reason to be for or against somebody. I mean, judge him on his policies, his merits. What good or what bad is he doing? That's how to judge a politician or anybody else. So,
well, I can tell you, Stephen, I was hoodwinked when he got on the stage in Chicago, because I saw Jesse Jackson there and Oprah, I think it was, and quite a few other characters with tears streaming down their cheeks. And I must admit, I really did believe, as an outsider, that change was going to happen. And I had tears running down my cheeks. But what a con, you know, the guy is brain dead. You know, he's robotic. He's just a puppet, like all of them. He's part of the New World Order. And we come back to that, you know. I'd like to just give you an example of militia operating within a certain country and how they operate, because I don't just write about things by researching. I lived and worked in the military in the Middle East, and as a civilian I was in Iraq during the war as a consultant, and I saw what I saw. I've spent times with thousands of displaced people that have been badly tortured with machete and hung from the ceiling and electrocuted and what have you, and I've cried with them. I've cried with the women that were gang raped, and the stories just go on, you know. And what was more important to me, there are two separate militia in Kurdistan, for instance. There's the PKK, who I don't call them terrorists, because really they're freedom fighters. They're trying to gather all the Kurdish in the southeast extremity of Turkey, in the eastern extremity of Syria, little pockets in Iran, and some of course in Iraq, and they're trying to recover what was a lost empire of theirs, which is fair enough, you know. It's they can try. But of course the US, the UK, Germany and France, the usual ones, said they earmarked it as a terrorist group. But you know, what the public don't realise is that group then went to the European Court, and that was cancelled out. They were considered not to be terrorists, but still the good old US of A, Britain, France and Germany still continued on, because Turkey is a NATO partner. And so now Turkey can go any time it wants, cross over the border, which is a breach of sovereignty of Iraq and Kurdistan, with tanks, with aircraft, and take out any village where they think the PKK is. Now, to give a true comparison, now on the other side, on the eastern side, on the Sulaymaniyah, which is the city to the east, which I spent a lot of time in, you've got the PJAK, very similar philosophy. They want to, they're dealing with the Iranian side, but they're not doing good things. They're crossing over the border and doing cross-border raids like their counterparts are. But this time, these are not terrorists. The US identify them as allies. The Turkish identify them. So US and the West are funding them and arming them. Why? Because they're causing problems behind the lines in Iran. And there is the evidence. This is how the militia work. They meet up with British SAS, they meet up with the Green Berets, they meet up with CIA, Mossad in particular, and MI5, MI6, and they go about their activity. They give money to people. They can form an instant crowd to form a little riot just for the cameras, you know, and the BBC are there doing it all because they're controlled as well. And before you know it, you've got this, you know, civil war that isn't a civil war. And I actually caught one of the Mossads out myself because I consider myself to be reasonably intelligent. I was traveling on the mountain road from Erbil to Sulaymaniyah, which has many checkpoints on the way with highly armed patrols up there, and we gave a guy a lift. I must admit, I identified him fairly quickly, but I let him talk. He was talking about the development of a university in Sulaymaniyah, which I know extremely well because I was working there extensively, and what he was telling me was a pack of lies. And he was talking to the couple of Americans in front, who were absolutely appalling. They were talking about nuking the Kurds and who gives a rat's, you know, who gives a crap about the Iraqis. And in the car with me are my Iraqi friends, you know. I mean, how undiplomatic can you be? And so I reached down while the guy was talking with the others, and I took the name tag off his bag and did a check on him, and he was Israeli. And he was living next door to a minister in Kurdistan. So you can see it's rife, Stephen. It's everywhere. Every country's got them. And these are the people that are giving this false illusion about Syria. The same people in Libya. And I also know for sure that the same hitmen, the same snipers that were part of the Libyan campaign relocated to Syria. Libya gave them to do that, and so, you know, I would like to focus on the New World Order, but maybe you want to come in on now.
Oh, no, talk about the New World Order, because that was really what I was getting at, and you wrote about it in your recent article, New World Order, that came into being over two decades ago, and really, you could describe it in a lot of ways, you know, remake the world in the image of America, which means destroying it, and preying on the people, and sucking out all the wealth, and all the rest, so all the other horrors. But talk about the New World Order, Peter.
Well, first of all, you know, I do quite a few, like you, I do TV interviews. I certainly do debating interviews when I'm up against an ex-CIA or general in the US Army or whatever. I'm not going to name names at the moment, but there's one gentleman I go up against. I also went up against a guy from Israel who, you know, I really did pin down on one particular program, because when I go on these shows, I have the evidence in front of me. And so, if possible, I try and embarrass them on camera. I've even been up against a few congressmen in my time and asked them, you know, pertinent questions relating to the issues on hand. And they haven't been able to give an answer. And I've just turned around to them and said, you know, why are you running for office, or why are you even in office if you can't answer a simple basic question? You're a disgrace to Congress, etc., etc. Anyway, the New World Order. Well, folks, America is purely a puppet, believe me. Yes, there are superpowers of the organization over there, but the true axis of evil is actually in London. And we touched base with this some time ago. Please understand that when you've got your independence and your constitution, your country is not your country. Please understand that, America. Your country doesn't belong to you. In the governmental sense and the judicial sense, your country belongs to the crown. Not the crown of England, but the crown of Templars, the Templar Knights. This is a very powerful organization that goes back to the Crusades, back to King John. It's all centered around the Strand, the Royal Courts of Justice and Chancery Lane. I've got my own court case down there, which I guess in a way is exposing the New World Order from the bottom up. And so I know the system. I've been in their exclusive clubs. And of course, Chatham House is one of their operational hubs. You've got the Rothschilds, the Bank of England, which then brings us on to the reserve banks or the central banks around the world. They're in almost every country, including your potential enemies, our potential enemies. They're not my enemies. It's what, you know, the New World Order call enemies, like Syria and Iran, etc. And all those banks are directly controlled by the Rothschilds. There's no question about that. Please understand that. And so you've got this control from central, from the axis of evil. London is a separate sovereign state within Britain. It is not part of Britain, in a similar way to Washington. And so the strings are pulled from here. But don't be confused by this, because although we control America in so many ways, or we're in a joint venture with them, and we certainly control the banking system from London, the control of England, of the banking system, and this elite New World Order goes to the Committee of 300, and I've published that. You can see all the names, go through them all. You'll be shocked at some of them. Of course, the Bilderbergs, the Trilateral Commission. There's no point in repeating this. People know this already. But what they don't know is that way back in King John days, the control of this yet-to-be organization was actually handed over to the Pope and the Vatican. So you've got this strong lean towards the Pope and the Vatican, not in the religious sense, because one would have to question a lot of the people who claim they're religious, who claim they're Jewish, who claim they're Methodist, who claim they're Catholics or Church of England or whatever. A vast majority of them, I'm convinced, are not even worshipping God. They're worshipping Lucifer or some unknown evil devil, whatever. And so we've got a situation now where there is a small group in America that's attacking the New World Order, what I call from the top down. And they're doing a very good job of this at the moment. And I'm in touch with that group. And that group are in touch with, I guess you could say, could be the new World Order, but in a totally different form. If I've been fed the right information, this new group, this new superpower, and I say superpower not in the military sense, in the financial sense, are now starting to draw down on what they've given to countries. They want a return on their investment, and they certainly want control of this enormous power that the existing New World Order have. I'm in communication with that group on a one-on-one basis. Whether it turns out to be true or false, only time will tell. But I've seen the evidence that the dismantling of the financial structure of the New World Order is taking place. And just watch the media and look at the CEOs that are falling from grace in very powerful positions. And so that is the London side. Just to give you some idea of how this structure works, there is a current order out, a legal order, and I'll read from this list. I've been privy to this, as some other people have. You've got Joseph Ackerman of the Deutsche Bank, Ban Ki-moon, the Secretary of General of UN. And if you don't know, folks, the UN is the New World Order anyway, as is the World Health Organization, as is the International Court of Justice, as is the UNICEF. They control everything, the way you're educated. And believe me, if they have their way, you're going to end up with no education, no work. You're going to be basically brain dead, totally dependent on either alcohol or drugs or both. And you're going to be subservient to the state. That's exactly where they want you. And then you know about the FEMA camps. Well, I won't go into that. Continue on the list. We've got the Bank for International Settlements, known as BIS, Barclay Group, London and worldwide. Jose Barroso, the President of the EU. Silvia Berlusconi. Well, that doesn't take any brains to fathom that one out. Ben Bernanke, Tony Blair, Lloyd Blankenfein, Goldman Sachs, George Bush Sr. and Jr.,
good old David Cameron, our Prime Minister, Hillary Clinton, the old mayor, Credit Suisse Bank, former Vice President of the EU, JP Morgan, President of the European Central Bank, Rahm Emanuel, Federal Reserve Bank and all central banks in the US, Timothy Geithner, Alan Greenspan, HSBC, which we've touched base before, is now being hit fairly hard, the IMF, needless to say, the World Bank, they're all part of the same problem, Henry Kissinger, Prime Minister of Italy, who was also ex-Goldman Sachs, Benjamin Netanyahu, wow, he's right up there, Lucas Papademos, the ex-Prime Minister of Greece, who was also ex-Goldman Sachs, Henry Paulson, one of your own people, the good old Queen of England and other members of the European royal family, Queen Beatrix, the Rockefellers, Mitt Romney. Now, there's a good one for you. He's as crooked as they come, and he's running for presidency.
He's a perfect candidate, Peter. A perfect candidate for president.
Oh, absolutely, yes. He's got all the essentials.
Absolutely, all the credentials. He has. He's got a PhD in how to pillage and steal and so on. And I don't remember if you included one of my favorites, Mario Tricard Monti, the appointed Prime Minister of Italy, another former central banker, Goldman Sachs type, I believe. You know, they all have the same roots. They're taught how to steal, and then they're put into positions of power to just rip off ordinary people and countries and
That's
steal
right.
them blind.
And, of course, Italy at the moment is run by the IMF, and they've put their own stooge in there. So
oh, yeah,
now,
Ricard Monti.
Yeah. And so you've got the Rothschilds, Robert Rubin, you know him, Nicolas Sarkozy, there's a good one, George Soros, top of the tree, Lawrence Summers, there's another one for you, the Union Bank of Switzerland, the UN, David Wootton, City of London, and of course the World Bank, and all governments, and it goes on, the list is endless. This is the nucleus of the New World Order. And we could go on forever about this. It is very complex. I'm right in the middle of it. I've got my own court case with a colleague. We've exposed massive international fraud involving the CEOs, senior bank exec, senior politicians, including our own Prime Minister, including Tony Blair, including Gordon Brown. We've named and shamed them all in my articles. The list goes on. Missing nuclear weapons, we've put space about that. That was purchased illegally with taxpayers' money and simply got restolen and sold on the black market. And then we've got the issue of the American nukes that went missing. We can go on forever. And the crux of all this, of course, is that both countries, your country, my country, Germany, France, Japan, and many Scandinavian countries and South Africa, gave Saddam Hussein chemical and biological weapons, including the technology to create nuclear weapons, and of course he used them. We actually gave them, and you helped with it, VX gas, the most deadly gas on Earth, and that was used on the Kurds, and it was used in the Iraq-Iran war. Okay, so now you've got the structure of your government, my government, the French government, the German government, the United Nations. You know, where is this going to go?
Where are they going to go exactly? You know, what next? And again, the UN, I think the UN is so important to understand. It's an imperial tool. NATO is an imperial tool. All these organizations that too many people either know too little about or know nothing about, but the idea that the United Nations, you know, I mean, their charter, the language is absolutely marvelous, you know, to rid the world of the horrors of war, never again, and the secretary general, I think either way you can say it. I mean, these people are just con artists put in charge to serve imperial interests and literally benefit themselves. When you appoint a guy like Kofi Annan, former secretary general, to be a peace envoy to the Middle East, I mean, they might as well appoint Darth Vader to the job.
Well, all I can say is that if my gut feeling is correct, and if I'm in touch with the right people,
then obviously we don't know whether there's going to be a new world order and what effect it will have on civilization. But it certainly can't be any worse than what we've got. So even if we halved the current genocide or whatever, you know, something's got to be better than what we have. And all I can say is that if it is genuine, I'm sure I will be part of it in some small way on the humanitarian side, because I've done extensive charity work. And if someone gave me that portfolio and told me to go out and do good in the world, I can assure you it will be in good hands.
Peter, I know it would be, and my feeling is at my ripe old age, I want to go down fighting this beast. I think there's only one solution. We have to slay it. We have to slay it.
Yeah, we need a coup d'etat by the military. There's no question about that.
I think it's very possible it could come. I don't know whether a military coup d'etat could end up any better than what we have now, but yeah. I don't know if people get to be generals, especially with four stars on their shoulders, if they're good guys. But if there are any around, we could sure use them. Maybe a few Eisenhower types.
Oh, and before you go, don't forget that the current issue on the Egyptian Rafah border is another false flag.
Oh, a false flag. I wrote about it, Peter. I wrote about it. Another Mossad false flag.
Exactly.
It seems so glaring to me. Peter, we're out of time. Another marvelous, marvelous hour. I look forward to next time you'll be back. I hope my listeners enjoy it as much as I do. I sure enjoy it immensely. Many thanks,
okay.
Peter.
Thank you for having me, Stephen. Good afternoon.
And, of course, we'll be back tomorrow again, noon Chicago time, 1 p.m. Eastern time, every Saturday and Sunday, and on Thursdays on 11 a.m. Eastern time. Make it a regular habit for programs like this on the most important issues we all need to know about, so we'll get out there and protect our own interests. If we don't do it, who will?